He saves us to serve. He doesn't save us to sit around and wait for the trumpet. He saves us to stay behind and serve Him until He comes to take us home. And He reminds us of that here in Luke chapter 12 in a beautiful way here in verse 35. He says, "And Jesus answered and said," while He taught in the temple, and that's Mark chapter 12, sorry. I knew right away something wasn't right there. All right, Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." So loins girded and lights burning. Let's pray. Lord, use Your word in our lives today to teach and grow us, to mold us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the privilege of assembling here. Pray You'll now come down and meet with us and work miracles in each of our hearts, Lord. Accomplish Your will. We commit the service to You in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so Jesus, as He is going to be leaving soon, when He's giving these words, He wants us to know that again, after we get saved, He has a task for us to carry out, a job for us to do, and that is to gird our loins about and serve Him, and to make sure that our lights are burning, and that we should be waiting and watching and expecting Him to return. But that doesn't mean standing on a mountaintop and looking for a sign. It means we're busy serving the Lord while expecting Him to return. And that loins girded about is exactly what he's teaching there. As He said down in verse 37, He said, "Blessed are those servants when He cometh shall find watching. He shall gird Himself." So we don't quite understand how that works, but there's going to be a time when Jesus will even serve us in heaven. Maybe it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know. But He equates girding Himself with serving. If you go to Luke 17, He explains it again. In verse 8, Luke 17, verse 8, He says, "And will not rather say unto Him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve Me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." So again, we see Christ equating girding Himself with being busy about serving the Lord. And that is one of our main jobs as Christians, is to be serving Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 6. Now, this is the armor of God that He details for us that we all need to be putting on every morning so we can face the day here in Ephesians 6. And He specifically, in verse 14, He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So notice He's telling us that we need to be girded about. We need to have our loins girded about. What that meant was, in Bible days, as you know, most of them wore robes. But when it came time to go out and work in the fields, they would take the robes and they would tie them up around their thighs, their loins, so the robe didn't get in the way as they were working in the fields. So they would gird about their loins so they could work. Just like God wants us to work. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." We're here to work. It's really not complicated. We're told in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Jesus saved us to serve. He didn't save us to sit and wait. He saved us to serve. And we are here as His creation, His recreation, that we might serve Him. You know, most of us know Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Most of us know that by heart because we use it to witness. But the next verse, after talking about how we're saved by grace, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship." created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So He has saved us. He saved us through His grace that we might serve Him. And so God wants us to have our loins girded about. He wants us to be actively serving Jesus Christ. I hope every one of us can say, I am doing my best to serve Christ. I know what my gifts are, and I know that Jesus has a job for me, and I put them to use, and I serve Christ. Back to our verse, Luke 12:35. Not only does He want our loins girded about, but He says, and your light's burning. Your light's burning. Now, we all understand what He's talking about. He's talking about shining for Christ. He's talking about witnessing. He's talking about being the light of the world. He said that in John 8 that He was the light of the world, but He told us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world and that we're here to shine for Him. He even tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Those two things go together. The light's burning and the loins girded. We are here to shine. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please, and we'll see here how we are called to shine in this dark and dying world. And this world is dark. And Satan is the god of this world, and the world just keeps getting darker and darker. But folks, we win in the end. Amen? We get to spend forever with Christ. And as dark as the world gets, and as bad as things may seem, we still spend forever with Jesus and get to come back and enjoy the kingdom. Notice Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We are to be shining. We're to be holding this book out to the world and saying, Jesus is the answer. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. And God wants us to be shining. And by the way, it says your light's burning. He's there using the analogy of a candle. As you know, when He was referring to John the Baptist, He referred to him as a burning and a shining light. And He says, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in His light in John chapter 5. When you think about a candle, if Christ is going to use the analogy of a candle, which He does it cost a candle anything to burn? It does, doesn't it? It costs the wax. And eventually, there is no more candle. It just burns and burns, and then eventually it's gone. And if Christ is going to use the analogy of a candle about lights burning, there's a cost involved with serving Christ. There's a cost involved with shining for Christ. But does that mean it's not worth it? Of course not. I mean, when we get up every day, we have a choice. It's much easier to not serve Christ. It's much easier to not shine for Christ. But if we choose to serve Christ and we choose to shine for Christ, is there going to be some sacrifice involved? Often, yes. But are we not called to sacrifice for Him? And did He not sacrifice all for us? So, yes, there's a cost involved in both of these things, but it's worth it because Christ did everything for us. So we are, as His children, we are called to have our loins girded about, to be serving Jesus Christ, to get to work. We are called to be burning for Him, to be a shining light in this dark and dying world. And then back in our passage, Luke 12:36, we're also to be waiting. Notice He says, ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. So while we are working, while we are shining, we're also to be waiting. What does that mean? It means that when the Lord does return, and by the way, we don't know when that is, just like He says here, we're ready. We've been waiting. We've been expecting the Lord to return. And 1 Corinthians 1:7, if you turn there, the Bible mentions this as well. 1 Corinthians 1:7, but we are to be serving Christ, we're to be burning for Jesus Christ, or being a light for Christ, shining for Him, while we are waiting. In other words, we believe. Just as much as we believed in Christ to save us from hell, we believe that Jesus Christ will come back. And the same Christ that made the promises of our salvation made the promises of His return. And we believe it. We expect it. And we live for it. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Waiting. Go to Philippians 3, verse 20, if you would. And again, if we truly believe, if we're truly waiting for Christ to come back, it will affect our lives. It will affect our behavior. He tells us here in Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation means our whole lives, our behavior is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We expect Him to come back. And so our loins will be girded about. We're to be serving Christ. We're to be shining for Christ, all the while waiting so that when He comes back, we're ready. We're ready for Him to take us. And that's what He tells us in verse 37 of our passage. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." There will be some servants who aren't watching. They're oblivious. They're not serving Christ. They're not shining for Christ. And when the Master returns, they're going to be caught off guard. Jesus wants us to be waiting and watching, to be ready so that when He does return, we aren't caught off guard. Go to Mark 13, where Jesus Christ makes it ever so powerfully clear with this one powerful word. Matthew 13:37, look what He says as He's finishing the chapter. "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Just one word. Watch. Titus 2 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We're to be expecting Christ to return. And He tells us, if you go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, that if we are expecting Him to return, if we're ready, if we're watching, that we won't be ashamed. Notice 1 John 2:28. He says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear," notice it doesn't say if, "when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now this verse mentions Him girding Himself and making us sit down to meet. I don't know when that's going to happen. The Bible doesn't tell us. We have a picture of that in John 13 when Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples before He began sharing with them that He was going to leave and giving them all those encouraging truths. Before He did all of that, remember, He girded Himself. Same phrase in John 13. And what did He do but wash their feet? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God in the flesh, washed the disciples' feet. The Bible somehow is telling us here that there will come a day when He will gird Himself and make us to sit down to meet, and He will serve us. It almost doesn't seem, you know, we're going to seem completely unworthy, feel that way, just like Peter said, "Lord, You shouldn't be washing my feet, I should be washing Your feet." But this is how God is. This is how good He is. And He may be referring to the marriage of the Lamb. I don't know. Either way, what an exciting thought that we get to be with Jesus. But in the meantime, until that day comes, we don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be this afternoon. It could be in 10 years. We don't know. But we're to be watching and waiting and expecting Christ to come back. And while we're watching and waiting, serving, girding our loins about, and shining for Jesus Christ. And look at verse 38 of our passage, Luke 12. Christ pronounces a blessing on Christians that will pay attention to these exhortations. He says, "If He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Find them so. What does he mean? Loins girded about, lights burning, watching and waiting for their Lord. He says, when he returns, and by the way, it could be the second watch or it could be the third watch. We don't know. But when he does return, and it will be a surprise as far as the timing of it, is he going to find his servants, find them so, serving and shining and watching? Because if he does, he says, blessed are those servants. And if you go to Matthew 25, very familiar truth. These are the words that we should all desire to hear at the judgment seat of Christ. That this blessing will be said about us. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I really would love to hear that at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it's up to us, isn't it? Salvation was a free gift. Hallelujah. And that's a given. We're going to heaven. But whether or not he catches us off guard, that's up to us when he returns. Whether or not he finds us serving and shining for him, that's up to us. He's given us everything we need. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his gifts and abilities to serve him. And he said he'll help us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. We have everything that we need, all the resources we need to carry out what he's called us to do. But in the end, he still leaves the choice up to us. And we all know Christians who have decided that they're just going to cruise their way to heaven. And God's working in their hearts too. We may not see it, but it's true. He's a loving Father, and he will work in their lives. But much better to be found so, as he says there in verse 38, that when he does return, he finds us serving. He finds us shining, holding forth that word of life. He finds us expecting him to come back and watching him waiting and being ready for the return of Jesus. He finds us that way. How blessed we'll be if he does. And Lord willing, we'll be able to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So just a simple exhortation from God this morning. But we need to take heed that God gave us a job to do. And that is to put our time and our strength and the gifts he's given us to use. And to serve him with all that we are. And to shine for him in this dark and dying world. And to be watching and expecting him to return at any moment. If he just finds us doing those three things when he returns, I think we'll be pretty good. But they're big. And it's something we need to be constantly thinking about. Am I ready? Am I looking? Am I expecting Jesus Christ to blow that trumpet and call me home or not? I hope that our loins are girded and our lights are burning. Let's pray.